Hey, Gabby, can you hear me?
I sure can.
I don't know. Can you see the screen share, Chad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I put on my headphones so I can hear you. Can you say something? Yeah, there you go. Yep, I can hear you now. That was on me. Ooh, man. Let's see. Oh, who do we have as attendees? BRM. And recording has resumed.
Welcome to the May 10th meeting of the Yolo County Transportation District, and our meeting is called to order at 7:01 p.m. Acting Director Perez, would you please review the particulars for tonight's meeting?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd be pleased to. Those of you in participation in tonight's meeting, we are completing this meeting pursuant to the governor's order during these pandemic times to conduct telephonic or teleconference type meetings. We ask that you do address the board members with your name. While we all may be familiar with one another's voices and or faces, not everyone is familiar with everyone else. And so again, at the appropriate time, please click the raise your hand button on your control panel or mobile device panel to indicate you wish to speak. If you are on the phone, please dial *9 to have the equivalent raise your hand, at which point, at the appropriate time, if the chair acknowledges your request, you will be allowed to make your public comment or to speak on a specific item. With that being said, I believe if there are any issues or questions that you have, you may submit them by clicking the raise hand button or by pressing *9 on your phone, and we'll do our best to address those.
All right. Thank you, Jose. Will you please call roll and determine whether or not we have a quorum?
Yes, Madam Chair. Happy to do so. City of Davis. Not present. City of West Sacramento. Not present. City of Winters.
Present.
And City of Woodland.
Present.
And County of Yolo.
Present.
Thank you very much. The next item to consider is approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to tonight's agenda, Jose?
Yes, Madam Chair. We are recommending some changes to the agenda. If the board so desires, staff recommends moving items 4D and item
4E
from consent to discussion and removing item 8 from consideration for the board this evening.
Thank you. If there are no other questions on the agenda, I would entertain a motion on the agenda as stated.
I move approval of the agenda as described by Mr. Diaz.
Thank you, Mr. Saylor.
Saylor will second.
Saylor seconds. I'd like to have a roll call vote.
Okay. City of Davis. Oh, I am promoting Director Frericks at this moment, so if we may give him a moment to roll.
Could you repeat the?
I heard the motion.
Okay.
Wonderful. Great. And so with that, City of Davis.
I vote aye again.
Thank you. City of West Sacramento. Not currently present. City of Winters.
Aye.
City of Woodland.
Aye.
And County of Yolo.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being here tonight, transportation fans. Public comment is our next item, public comments from the public regarding items that aren't on the agenda but are within the purview of Yolo County Transportation District. And please note that we are generally prohibited from discussing items not on the agenda at this time. Do we have public comment?
We do, Madam Chair. We have currently two requests for public comment.
Great. Who's first?
Mr. Alan Hirsch. I believe I saw his hand first.
All right. Who is after Mr. Hirsch?
Mr. Mike Barnbaum.
All right. Great. Alan Hirsch.
Thank you. Thank you very much for letting me speak this evening. I appreciate you moving the items about Marty Tuttle and the management we have to in this transition period to the percentile. I worked with Marty when he was at SACOG. He's a great guy. We're really lucky to have him. But I think to engage the community and especially the activist community, the mobility in this thing, I think it's important we talk about what's going on and what the decisions are made and the trade-offs being made, especially because I know there's some discussion about Yolo Bus being merged into RT or some relationship that changing there too. So the more we can share in the public, the more the community can get behind and support the board. So thank you very much. And the last item, which is, I don't know what it says. It says a reviewer evaluate an appointment or evaluation of a public employee. That's kind of ambiguous. You could be clearer on that. And I believe there has to be a little more public disclosure if you're giving people raises. As interim directors, I think there has to be a little more disclosure about that under the steel law. I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I just think we want to be as open and transparent as possible so we can all be on the same team. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for getting Marty on board.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Mr. Mike Barnbaum.
Hello, good evening. Thank you. Mike Barnbaum of Sacramento. I wanted to update the board. There was a change made today on the Capitol Corridor website, and really good news to share on their website changes. They have now posted their press release of the new schedule that they're going to roll out on Monday, June 7th. It will highlight 22 round trips during the week, 18 round trips on the weekend, and full restoration of seven round trips, so 14 trains a day to and from San Jose. This is really great news and the very first big ramp up in service they're going to initiate here in 2021. The other thing I wanted to mention outside of that, I know it was introduced in the meeting that due to the public health emergency, all meetings are still being held virtually. I know we've been following in the news about perhaps California opening up, for lack of a better term, on June 15th. I know that the next board meeting is June 14th. So perhaps my question was going to be, is the district considering what's going on in the news regarding that and looking at maybe a hybrid approach in the future for board meetings in which meetings are in person but still video conference for those that may not be able to necessarily make it all the time to the board chambers in Woodland? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike, for your comments. And Alan, thank you for your comments. I can say that to Mr. Alan Hirsch, if you look on the Yolo County Transportation website where the meetings are located, you might want to review the 325 and 419 special meetings and to kind of get an update on some of the decisions that the board has made. And I think I'm just going to move to the consent calendar. So the next item to consider is approval of the consent calendar. I hope I get the items right. It's A, B, C, and F.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Are there any comments, questions, or changes from the board?
Moved by Frerix.
Moved by Frerix.
Saylor seconds.
Thank you very much. May I have a roll call vote?
Yes. City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
And County of Yolo?
Aye.
And Madam, I apologize, Madam Chair, for the record, Director Ledesma was able to join us at 7:05 p.m.
Thank you. I'm glad everybody's here. The next item is board member reports, announcements, and other nominations. Do we have any reports from members of the board? I have one light comment. I sent a thank you to Dan Boyle and Associates when he finished his COA work, and he sent me a thank you for the thank you because he doesn't get many thank yous in the mail. So he loves YCTD. All right. Seeing no other comments. Item number six is a...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
We have two of the items from consent calendar. Will you take those? At what point in the meeting will you take those items up?
Thank you, Director Saylor. I was going to take them at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Instead of item eight, I was going to make them 9, 10. And then the director's report and... Director... Frericks will be closing the meeting after the closing session comments.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. I like process. Sometimes I forget I got to tell everybody else the process. All right. Item number six is discussing and confirming YCTD's mission, and it'll be presented by management consultant Marty Tuttle. Welcome, Marty.
Well, thank you. Am I on here?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for having me here. It's been 3 weeks since I've been the management consultant. To some, it may be seem longer than that, but I think we've got a lot done. Thank you, Alan, for your nice comments. It's good to be back in the transportation arena. When I started on April 20th and began to research this agency, I ran into a lot of focus on YOLO bus. In fact, when you walk into the agency, you're greeted with the YOLO bus logo. When you look at the budget, it is the YOLO bus budget. And as I was asked by the board to evaluate this organization and determine pathways for success, it seems to me that the board needs to ask a pretty fundamental question, and that is, what is the mission of this agency? Is it serving as a fixed route and paratransit exclusively operation, or is it multimodal? And in the research on different options, and either one of them are fine, I mean, we need to just make it clear in terms of where we're budgeting, and I think it's very, very important for the recruitment of the next executive director is to determine what is the product for YCTD. What is the primary focus? And looking at that, I ran into a bill that Assemblyman Hannigan had carried and had moved through the legislature and was signed into law, putting YCTD in statute. And I make sure that you know I had no fingerprints on this. In fact, when I served with Tom, this issue had come up during the latter part of my 13 years with him. As his transportation consultant, I said it wasn't necessary, that as a joint powers agency, it had the flexibility to do really whatever it wanted to do, and to put it into statute seemed unnecessary. At that point, I went on because of term limits, and Tom was going to be termed out in shortly. I went over to the Solano Transportation Authority and did its reorganization as a JPA. And Tom asked me, what did I think of this YCTD bill? And I said, I don't think it's necessary, but I've got my hands full here at Solano. I wouldn't fight it. I know that Board Member Stallard was one of the opponents of the bill, and I think he even testified in committee on the same basis, but that was Tom Hannigan. He was the majority leader of the assembly at that time, and he could move legislation through the process. People had the utmost respect for him, and it became law. So when I reviewed that legislation, the language that is in the background for the item strikes at the agency being multimodal. In state law, YCTD is not Yellow Bus. It is a multimodal transportation agency. In fact, if you look at the state law, it says that YCTD cannot focus on a single mode. So as a management consultant, I think it's time that the board think outside the bus. I know it's a cliche, think outside the box, but again, in this case, I think we need to think outside the bus. And if we pursue multimodal transportation improvements for transit particularly, the bus operation will be complemented and ridership would increase with better connections to transit hubs so that we can feed the Yellow Bus with additional passengers. So it is not an action item tonight. It's for discussion and clarification. Shall staff proceed with Yellow Bus, or should we take a look at this language that's in state law and begin to move in the direction of a multimodal planning, investment, project delivery organization? And as I've talked to our partners in Northern California who work with Yellow County Transportation District, there is a consensus that the agency could play a huge role by ramping up and being more than a bus operator. There is great promise in terms of regional cooperation and being able to take advantage of some regional initiatives by putting Yolo County's horsepower behind it. So in short, I think we need to determine what product we want to endeavor to produce. If it's a fixed route bus operations, I would encourage us to be the best in the state and the country at bus operations. If it really is to be more of a multimodal transportation agency, then I would say that we ought to go out and be one of the best. And there are several models around the state for us to do, to follow, including the one at Solano. But it's a fundamental policy question for the board. Is what do we want to produce? What do you want your staff to concentrate on? And if it is the multimodal direction, we're in good shape. It's already in statute, and we need to follow that. So with that, again, I'm not really it's not an action item. It's more of clarifying the course that you would like to pursue over the next coming years.
Thank you, Marty. Clarifying questions from the board. I see Tom Stollard's hand up. Director Stollard.
Well, now that I've been outed for my opposition to the formation of the district, I'll just say that's a long story, but it's not because I had any opposition to the transit agency. It's just that I felt the Joint Powers Authority was a better mechanism for us at the time, and I lost, obviously, on the point. But Terry and I remained friends through the years. I fully support us becoming a full range transit, a full range transportation agency. You know, times are changing always, and we need to be ready for them. And I think the pandemic has taught us that different things work for different times. And going into the future, you know, I think West Sacramento has already led the way in terms of finding a new option that's helping them. And I think why shouldn't our transit district be engaged in all of these different options for our citizens? Give more choice to people, and that's a good thing. That's my feedback, Marty.
Thank you very much, Director Stollard. I see Director Saylor's hand is raised.
Thank you, Chair Loren. I think of the things that we've engaged in from time to time that do support that do call on our role as a multimodal agency. For example, at one point, when the Yolo County Transportation District was looked to by the cities and the county to be the coordinating agency for a rail relocation project. I'd like to see us be more and more seen and used as a resource for that sort of multi-agency coordination of our county-wide transportation issues. We've also been asked recently, and I would love, frankly, and on the rail relocation project, I'd love to see that actually happen. But we've also been called on by Caltrans to be the applicant for the infra grant for Interstate 80. And that's well outside the wheelhouse of an agency that would simply operate a YOLO a bus system. And it's consistent with the statutory authorization that Marty has shared with us this evening. I think that there are more opportunities for us to pursue. I think probably it's a matter of how much and when. And that's going to be a part of our discussion. I think that when Marty comes in as a external, well-informed person about the creation of this agency and its trajectory from many different perspectives, and examines the agency in the way that we've asked him to, he comes across this prime directive, the statutory authorization that created us. And of course, and I appreciate that you're reminding us of our original purpose. And at this moment in our history, we're at an inflection point. And I think clarifying that this is the vision of where we started and remains the vision as we look to our next steps, I think is very appropriate. So I'm very supportive of fulfilling the entire multimodal mission that we started with.
Thank you, Director Saylor. Director Ferrix has his hand up. Please proceed.
Actually, Director Ledesma had his hand up first. I'll let him go ahead.
Director Ledesma.
Thank you, Lucas. Good evening, everyone. I apologize for being late. But yes, I 100% agree with the direction Marty is posing to the board. It is not, as Director Saylor had brought up, it is not outside the realm of what we've considered already as a board. And I think I thank the chair for keeping our vision, values, and priorities in our agenda every week, every meeting, to remind us of the work we did just over a year ago when we talked about these exact concepts of where the board should be. We talked about how we should be more involved in mobility options, innovation for our district. And I think this sort of reflection with Marty and the rest of the staff, it's important for us to kind of come together and say, yeah, this is the direction we want to go. As we speak, we're already involved. As Director Saylor mentioned, we're already involved in a lot of areas. We've gotten involved in a lot of areas, and I think this is an opportunity to strengthen that. Don mentioned a couple. We've also, the district has been involved in our streetcar efforts, or even tonight, our friends at RT were debating again tonight the merits of bringing light rail, YOLO, and light rail streetcar into YOLO County, West Sac. Thankfully that passed, and I just got an update on that. But, again, I think these are really important concepts that we need to continue moving with, and YCTD, as a district can be very innovative. So I'm looking forward to more discussion as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Director Ledesma. Director Ferrix.
Yeah, thanks very much, Madam Chair, and good to see everybody this evening. Just a few items. I mean, I think, you know, points that have been very well taken by other directors regarding some of the other sort of responsibilities that YCTD has been involved with in the past several years. I also, one that wasn't really mentioned was the issue of the microtransit options that exist and sort of how YCTD responded there in conjunction with SACOG in to sort of have an innovative approach with how to serve folks in more rural parts of the county, particularly in Knights Landing and sort of transportation between Knights Landing and Woodland when the fixed route wasn't really cutting it. And I think, you know, I'm supportive certainly of taking on additional multimodal opportunities. I think we all are. I mean, it sounds great. I think regardless of what we do, we want to do it well. And that we all know, and as we have watched, especially prior to the pandemic, but certainly during the pandemic, all transit has suffered during the pandemic. And the fixed route service has truly suffered during that time. And, you know, we have been engaged in this comprehensive operational analysis, which was pretty clear in what was, in terms of the fixed route side of things, what was working and what wasn't, what isn't working, and where there are adjustments that are needed. And so I personally feel like that is a huge priority for me, to see the comprehensive operational analysis through, to put in place the changes that are needed in terms of the fixed route service. I do think that we definitely are, again, I'm super opportunistic and want to see us take on, you know, both what's in statute, but also in speaking to the bill itself, but also what, you know, as opportunities that come along. Do I want YCTD to take on, you know, a bike share service by itself? Maybe not. I think that there are reasons why that's been being done regionally. And I think that it's very important for us to do look to collaborate with our partners on those things. But I do think, regardless of what we do, so again, count me in the corner of, yes, let's look at other opportunities for multimodal transportation and how YCTD can be a facilitator and convener of those, and potentially even operator. But I also want to make sure that we are doing well the things that we already do. And that is definitely of paramount importance to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Mr. Matt Dulcich.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll just chime in with a quick yes. It seems great to kind of expand from the transit focus. The two examples I could think of were just those that one that Don mentioned, I think, was the Infra grant and partnering with Caltrans. I think the other might be our involvement with the TMA, EVO TMA. But expanding on those two and looking for more opportunities seems like a great, great option for the district. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Matt. Mr. Ledesma, you still have a hand up. Do you have another comment?
I do not. I'm sorry. I'll take that down.
All right. Thank you. If there aren't any more comments from the directors, I'd like to take public comment on the item.
And we have
go ahead. Two minute clock.
Yes, and we have two requests. First would be Mr. Joe Bolte, and then followed by Mr. Alan Hirsch.
All right, Mr. Joe Bolte, you have 2 minutes.
Hi. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So good evening, Yolo Bus. This is Joe Bolte from Davis. I think there can be no doubt that Yolo County needs a transportation system that is multimodal, and not only multimodal, but prioritizes safe modes that are safe for passengers as well as, people in the surroundings. We need mobility that is sustainable, and we need prioritization of sustainable modes, and we need space efficiency. Congestion on highways is a huge problem, something that the county needs to confront and Northern California needs to confront. The question is, what should YCTD as an organization be engaged in providing? And I think it's easy to say that, they should be multimodal. I think that's correct. But it's important to have agreement on what things is YCTD going to provide, and what things will be provided by other agencies. For instance, cities will probably continue to provide sidewalks and be responsible for them. Many of the cities in Yolo County are responsible for bus shelter infrastructure, and they collaborate with Yolo Bus, but it's the cities driving that. So I think in exploring what the future of Yolo Bus and YCTD is going to be, answering those questions specifically is going to be very, very important, not just should, YCTD be multimodal or not. I should also say, over the almost 2 years that I've been tracking Yolo Bus closely, it seems to be an agency that is still struggling mighty to deliver high quality fixed route intercity bus service. And this is
Mr. Bolte, that's your 2 minutes.
Oh, thanks.
The chair would entertain giving Mr. Bolte another minute. It Do you want to finish that point? Just that point.
If I can finish my thought. YCTD is struggling to deliver high-quality fixed route service right now, so I'm concerned that expanding the mission may shift resources away from that and hurt bus service. That would obviously be very bad. Thank you.
Thank you so much for finishing your point. We're right in the middle of that. Mr. You have 2 minutes.
Mr. Hirsch, you are live.
Thank you very much for letting me talk. I think multimodal, of course, is a wonderful thing. It's like motherhood. Who can be against it? We need to have interaction. The last mile with integrate with buses is really important. But let me color me a little intermodal curious, because I'm concerned that, well, in Silicon Valley, there was a phrase back in the race growth called sticking to the nitty, staying focused on your primary purpose and doing a good job on that. And that's the way to succeed. When wider you spread it, the thinner you get. It's the law of strawberry jam. So I'm concerned that we take on more things, that you don't increase staff time, don't increase the resources for the management, and your board's only meeting once a month, so your bandwidth is kind of limited. Do we really have the scope and the bandwidth to take on more things very well? Certainly we want to be aware in the future. Certainly we should explore those strategic options. But I'm concerned that we really haven't really optimized our fixed route bus service. And that's the integral of the social equity part of our mission, because I'm afraid we're going to take on things that have nothing to do with social equity, and we're going to shift resources away from the people who need it most with mobility to other resources. Thank you for listening. I'm open to Marty has great ideas. I want to see what he brings to us, but I'm calling me a little curious. Thank you.
I've never heard the term multimodal curious before, but the first time for everything. Is there any other public comment?
We do have another request from a Ms. Molly D'Agostino. She is a member of the YCTD Citizens Advisory Committee.
Welcome, Molly. You have a few minutes.
Hello. Hi. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I love this conversation, and I'm really enthusiastic. Yola Bus and YCTD becoming more multimodal. I'm really eager to see more integrations with bike share and scooter share and to see more microtransit in the region. And I just want to say that I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we can improve bus service and make the system multimodal. So that's my perspective, and thank you for the time.
Thank you so much for your comments. Would the directors like to reevaluate or add to their comments at this time? Otherwise, I would like to make a comment. In listening, it seems like the board supports a multimodal path forward, and also acknowledges that we are already multimodal. We have microtransit. We have paratransit, which is notes, but it wasn't mentioned. We're also a partner in reducing congestion through the, let me see if I have the infra grant. We're working with outside agencies. We already are multimodal. I heard loud and clear that we are also social equity based, and we have to have a prioritize our mission, our visions and values for social equity. I also heard that space efficiency, congestion, organization, sustainability, that there's many parts. And with hearing those comments, I'd like to embrace, on the one hand, the prime directive that Marty has brought to our attention, that, you know, what are we doing? And how can we be multimodal? And the other one is, we have a great citizen advisory board, and I would like to see staff kick to the citizen advisory board maybe more of a mission or a way that we could embrace kind of gathering all the thought of who we are moving forward. If that's something that I don't want to be the only one raising that, but maybe if that's something that kind of falls under this umbrella, action on that. Other comments? Marty?
Okay, well, thank you. I I think that's great direction. In terms of the CAC, we can take this topic to their next meeting to get their feedback as well and continue this discussion. I thought the comments were very appropriate. Those who are maybe skeptical, I clearly, for this agency to add value, it has to build on the success we've had, and that's with the fixed routes. By connecting with the other modes, I think you'll see ridership increase. This is not going to happen overnight. There's a lot of work that needs to beef up the transit hubs with connections, bikehead, micro transit, more on a countywide basis. And that can only be done by expanding the pie of funding. So while as a well-positioned multimodal transportation agency, I think YCT can go out and compete for grants for alternative transportation. Those who are skeptical that Marty wants to put this in roads, I don't think that's the case. It's to take advantage of the investments we've had and complement that with better connections. So I think we're in good shape. And we'll take this to the CAC and get their input. And I think we've got staff has pretty good direction on this. And then we're ready to move to the next item when you are.
I'm ready. Item number 7 is the presentation by SACOG on Sacramento Regional Parks and Trails Strategic Development Plan, and it will be presented by SACOG's Chief Executive Officer, James Corliss. Welcome, James.
Now, Chair, I thought I was going to do the introduction, because I'd like to thank
Go ahead.
Because now that you've clarified that we're multimodal, here I think this is an opportunity. SACOG has embarked on a regional trails initiative behind James's leadership. I think it's an incredible opportunity to look at that trail network and how it connects to our transit hubs so that we can beef up ridership on our fixed routes. Grateful that they've done so much work. Daisy Romero of our staff worked with Victoria Cacciatore on this. But I just want to give my kudos to SACOG for where they are on this. Have far, far more to do. But I think Yolo County, given our terrain and what we've already got in place, particularly with UC Davis and the city of Davis as being a global bike hub, we can provide a lot of horsepower to drive this on a regional basis. And so I just want to say we're really fortunate to have James at SACOG and the staff there. And I think this fits in terms of a really promising multimodal opportunity.
Well, welcome, Mr. Corliss.
Thank you, Chair Lauren. Really appreciate the opportunity. I'm really just I'm warming up for Victoria Cacciatore, who's going to give you the details. Because when Marty and I talked about this idea, he said, you know, it would be really great if we could, you know, unite the whole region with a network of trails where you could walk and bike and roll and think of the opportunity. And I said, hey, we're actually in the middle of this exact project right now. And I do think it dovetails really nicely with this conversation. I know most of you, many of you are on this board or on the SACOG board, so I've worked very closely with you. I would just say this to tee this concept up. Because whatever you decide for your future of YCTD, you know, we have to be multimodal in the region. We have huge opportunities, and we know that we're going to be partnering and working together and very closely. I came here 4 years ago, and I definitely love to get on my bike, love to walk, and I've known Sacramento pretty well. I worked in the Bay Area, but I have been absolutely blown away by how this region should be the biking, walking, rolling capital of the United States. What Marty said about the topography, the climate, and furthermore, we often, I know, harken back to our history in sort of a transportation hub, railroads and levees and canals. All of those things that used to carry stuff still carry some stuff, whether it's water or produce, or it now could carry people. And those corridors are we think, very untapped. Think, too, just about the pandemic for all the absolute downsides and the horror of what's happened. It has also accelerated several things, and one of which is people want to get outside. They want to get outside and walk and bike with their families in safe places. So this project that Victoria is going to give you an update on is an opportunity to envision knitting together our entire six county region with a network of low stress bicycle walking corridors, rolling corridors. And as Marty said, a lot of that is in place. You all in Yolo County are doing a lot of great work on this. But I would say if you just look from above at a map of where the existing trails are, it is stop, start, stop, start. It's a patchwork quilt. And I think with some effort and some focus and some vision, we can set ourselves up as a region to go grab state funding, to go grab federal funding, and to really put our region on the map and to link, as Victoria will tell you, people and places and low-income communities with a big emphasis on equity, link this region and really transform it. So Victoria is going to walk you through a few slides. And she's been doing all the heavy lifting and the hard work on this. She is our not just our resident bike ped expert, but our regional bike ped expert. So Victoria, take it away.
Thank you, James. And also thank you for the invitation to come here tonight to share about our Sacramento Region Parks and Trails Strategic Development Plan. Through this plan, we are looking at how we can create a dynamic connected trail system across all six counties of the SACOG region. So El Dorado, Placer, Sacramento, Sutter, Yolo, and Yuba counties. And while this is partly because we can use these trail connections to demonstrate some greenhouse gas reductions, we also know it'll be a foundation for strong economies and the resilient region that we are working towards. Next slide. We are not the first people to recognize the potential of a connected trail system, and we certainly won't be the last. One example that we like to point to when people are asking, what are we expecting to get from a connected trail network, is what you can see in the Industrial Heartland Trail Coalition. This is a coalition of 51 counties across four states, so Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, and New York. And it has a lot of assets that were once dedicated to the industrial and extractive economies, so coal mining and, you know, the canals and the railroads that would transport these goods, and also from steel mills. But now they have these corridors that are not serving their highest or best use anymore. They also have a number of areas that are underinvested in and have they experience inequality. So with that network, you're looking at, from a regional level, an opportunity to stimulate the economy through outdoor recreational opportunities and also investments in small businesses. But then also at city levels, such as in Cleveland, you have strategic and prioritized investments that are going to bring value to communities that daily experience inequality. So next slide. Bit by bit through our region, we are looking at ways that we can convert our existing corridors into their highest and best use, such as this example of a rail and trail conversion in Rancho Cordova, although mind you, the trail is not an act, or the rail is not an active corridor. But we can continue to transform these areas throughout the region into something that is going to serve the people of today. Next slide. So I wanted to outline what we've gone through to this point. We have worked with cities and counties on identifying what trails are on the ground and what planned trails are out there that maybe could serve great regional purposes. We've also looked at local plans and synthesized those results, shared them with city and county staff, and also community-based organizations. And we just wrapped up a public survey throughout the region where we received over 3,000 responses of people sharing both where they currently enjoy biking and walking, so we can learn what we are doing well as a region, and also where they would like to. So where they would like to bike, where they would like to walk, where they would like to scoot or skate, however you so choose to move yourself from one place to another. And so we are now going to be diving into those results to see what it is that the residents of our region hold important, what they would value in their trail connections. Next slide, please. So what we've learned so far with our analysis of the existing network is that there are over 500 miles of trails in the SACOG region, and over 70 miles of those are within Yolo County. However, a smaller percentage of those are what we call connecting trails, so a trail that you might be able to use to get to a nearby destination, whether it's a store or a school or perhaps the community next door. Only 40% of the dwelling units in our six-county region are near a trail that has that potential to connect them to something else, and only 30% of our jobs are there. And this obviously has room for improvement for us, but when you peel back further layers, we also learned that people with lower income have less access to these connecting trails than people with medium income or median income or higher income. So when we couple that with what we know from our long-range planning efforts, that people living in the lower income communities in our region are more likely to bike, more likely to walk, more likely to take transit. That means that people have no choice but to use either uncomfortable on-road networks or, in some instances, unsafe on-road networks. Next slide. So now that we know what part of our problem is, part of it is that we have these starts and stops throughout the region, and another part is that we have inequitable access, we can start to work on this. We can look at what are trails that we can elevate that are going to increase equitable access to communities that experience or have experienced disinvestment or other daily inequities. So this is a picture of a trail in Live Oak that kind of meets all of these goals, where when this trail is completed, it'll be a one-mile north-south trail that connects to all three schools in Live Oak by increasing access to their major east-west road that has bike lanes and sidewalks on it. It also connects to their parks, their pool, their historic downtown, and it provides a higher comfort route that is parallel to Highway 99 that bisects their city. It also has the potential to further connect to Yuba City, just south of Live Oak. So these are the sorts of examples that we're looking to build on when we're talking about how we're going to create a connected trail network through the region. Next slide. And these are not just present in Sutter County. There are a lot of opportunities within Yolo County as well. As was noted earlier, there are tremendous connections both in Davis and then also stretching out from Davis. But then you can also see in the handout that was included with the agenda packet that there are a lot of connections yet to be made, and there are ways that Yolo County can even look at increasing access for people that are living there that, you know, don't have these same connections that people living in Davis have. For one example, and as you can see, even within Davis, there are still planned networks that are yet to be made. Next slide. So as we're moving forward with identifying this connected trail network, these are some of the highlights that we have learned from our planning partners, such as that they felt that our trail connections in our region would be a great way to address our current challenges. So how we increase transportation equity, how we support COVID-19 recovery and addressing our economic vitality goals, and how we can support public health, not just physical health from getting out on a trail and riding your bike or taking a walk. Who else is slightly short of their 10,000 steps for today? But also how you can support mental health, because access to green space, or what we see in some parts of Yolo space, just California gold space, how we can increase access to those to provide the mental health benefits that in turn can help us welcome people of all ages and all abilities to bike more, walk more, and just create a sense of community that links our entire region together. Next slide. And while we do have those opportunities that we're aiming for, we also have a number of challenges that are both localized and regional. We've heard from our cities and counties and the SACOG Board of Directors that they have a strong interest in how SACOG can help with some of the partner coordination needed to make these trail connections, whether that's with reclamation districts, with flood control agencies, with railroads, or with even our transportation partner, Caltrans. And then also how we can look at overcoming infrastructure barriers, such as, you know, the river that we know a bridge to cross it would be expensive, but we also know that there would be tremendous benefits for it. That's something that usually no one agency is going to take on by themselves, but there needs to be a larger space for people to gather and to talk about how this can help meet the needs of residents on both sides of that infrastructure barrier. And next slide. We will be reaching out to city and county staff over this next month, and then sharing more information about the outreach findings with the SACOG Board of Directors in June. We're also starting an iterative network identification process with all of our planning partners over the next several months. And we hope that Yolo County Transportation District will be one of those partners.
James, do you comment before I open up for director's comments? Mr. Corliss?
No, okay. I'm happy to get any kind of questions or discussion.
All right. Director's comments. Questions, clarifying? The chair recognizes Mr. Dulcich.
Yes, thank you, Victoria. This is great. Thank you so much. And I would want to just say, from the UC Davis perspective, this is really appreciated. I think a lot of our multimodal planning over the years for campus, we've kind of focused on two populations. Those are who are within Davis and those who are outside. And we've always thought that the folks who live outside of Davis but commute in, that it's too hard to get them on a bike, but having more trail options that are connected to the adjacent cities would be great. And I think one thing that's changing right now is the emergence of electric bikes that is making these kind of longer or medium distance bike commutes more feasible for everyone, not just the super diehard bike commuters. So I think this is a great opportunity right now to do this kind of a regional trail planning effort. And I would also ask, could this planning effort kind of point towards Dixon? Because Dixon is actually one of the closest cities to Davis that has commuters who could benefit from a better bike connection. But that's it. Thank you. Thanks for the presentation.
Really appreciate your comments. Thank you, Matt. The chair recognizes Director Saylor.
Thank you. This is a question maybe for James and Victoria. And can you talk? I'm sorry, but I'm not sure of the timeline exactly. So there will be a region-wide plan developed. But when is that expected, and how might an agency like Yolo County Transportation District engage in advance of that or during that in the most productive way?
We are looking to have the network identified most likely by the end of this year, but I believe have it adopted by the SACOG board at the beginning of next calendar year, so February of 2022. And then after that, identifying the prioritized project list, so the list of projects that are going to help our region jumpstart the connected trail network. What we've seen from other agencies who are looking to do their extra credit work and get started early is that if they have trail corridors or opportunity corridors that they think have potential for this to increase access, they're starting on the planning work or they're applying for funding for the planning work. So, for example, there is an effort that is just taking off in Elk Grove that they are looking at a creek corridor that goes from the northwest to the southeast of their city, but then also has connections to the city of Sacramento, which is just north of them, and then also it expands to some of the open space that is south of their city, and different preserves and vernal pool areas like that. So they know that this is a trail segment or, you know, a possible trail segment that could have great potential for not only, you know, providing great access for people in Elk Grove, but also connecting to the north of them. So they're studying it. They're looking at the different technical options, and then also reaching out to their community to see if there are ways that this can help achieve their community goals, serve their mobility needs, and what they need to include or what they need to further explore.
Okay. Did you, I know you conducted an extensive online survey. Is that completed? The timeline has expired for responses. And can you tell us how many Yolo County responses you received?
We received over 3,000 3,000 completed survey responses. And I can find out that number. It's on a different tab on my computer, and I confess to having too many tabs open right now.
Okay.
Director Saylor, just on your first question, you know, Victoria kind of gave the timeline of the milestone to get this done by the end of the calendar year. That means that after this survey that we just got and we're analyzing now, the next few months are really critical to get all of our partner agencies use the public engagement tool and the results, but to work with all of you, including YCTD and your cities, to really build this network. And then I would say there's another major opportunity, which is hard to know. Let's hope we have it probably next year, which is really state funding and federal funding. It might even be this year. The state, as you know, looking for a pretty big one-time budget surplus. The CTC has asked for a huge plus up in the active transportation program. And there are bills in Congress to look at designated some national sort of pilot projects around regional trail networks. So we want to be ready for all of those.
Well, I think thanks, James. And I think one of the appealing aspects of this conversation is that there are so many trail elements that are not confined to one city in Yolo County. So the route between Davis and Woodland has become even more and more in demand as the commuters in one city or the other are going back and forth. We've got opportunity to span that several mile distance with an off-road bike pedestrian path, and that would be a good piece. There's some who have been proposing a countywide bike loop that would also be relevant. There's exciting business around the commutes between West Sacramento and Davis and into downtown for bikes and pedestrians. And there's the Cache Creek Trail complex that is in the works and can be accelerated in some cases. So and that's just a few that come to mind. And so I think there's quite a bit of opportunity here. I think one of the questions for us would be, could Yolo County Transportation District play a coordinating role? And if we said yes to that, then how would we resource that effort? And that's a question that we would need to look into. But certainly for facilitating conversations and helping to spread the word and perhaps being an applicant for some elements, there's a lot that we could do. It's a question of the resources to accomplish it.
Thank you very much for your comments. The chair recognizes Mr. Besma.
Thanks, Chair. And thanks, James and Victoria, for the presentation and continuing the work you're doing. I know being a part of the Transportation Committee now kind of gave me some insight to the work being done here. And I know my colleagues who are a regular part of SACOG have been pushing this as well. So just thanks to the board, SACOG board, and the SACOG team for really taking this effort. You know, one of the elements that this plan or this effort shines a light on, which I think could really keep in mind, it came up at the transportation meeting a little bit, a committee meeting last week, which I really wholeheartedly endorse, which is the language we use around the development of these plans and strategies and initiatives. I want to be able to, as we push these things forward, they can be construed as an effort for bicyclists, just recreational nature, while that's true, or for just a certain kind suburban commuter. But they're really not. I think the part that's really we've seen in some of the efforts that SACOG has been a part of and investing in West Sacramento is these are really around equity. And I know the chair mentioned that we're about that. It's one of our key values. It really does. It's important for that reason, the ability for people to use active transportation, walking or bicycling to different modes is hugely important, that access. It's hugely important as we've all learned. The development of our north-south Sycamore Trail and the bike ped bridge over the concrete river of the highway that bisects our city is a huge, huge win for the community because it connects students from the north part of our city, gives them a direct route into the southern part of the city, and more so to their school and to the economic opportunities, the rec center and all those sorts of opportunities also become very much a part of where they're going. So I just urge as we move forward on these efforts and on our board, as we think about our role into this, is think about the how we talk about these types of efforts, because I think they can easily be construed or played down as something it's just for a certain type of commuter or a certain type of resident, when actually there can be real activators to help people access their own economic opportunities, education opportunities, or whatever. Yeah, the other example I have in West Sacramento is the I Street Bridge deck conversion, which you might think is somewhat of a recreational use only, but really it would help keep the Broderick community, Washington neighborhood, Bright community, far easier access to the downtown Old Sacramento area than the circuitous route that the new bridge will bring. So we're trying to keep those connections together. And I think, those are kind of things that we should be thinking about. And I'm not sure if Victoria, you or James or Marty have any comments on that. But I just want to really make sure we just don't limit ourselves in how we talk about this. Thank you. Those are my comments.
Thank you so very much for your comments. The chair recognizes Lucas Ferrax.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So thanks so much, Victoria, for the presentation, James, to you both for being here this evening. Really appreciate all this continued work on this issue. I think, I'm personally, trails make life great. There's no question. And, I'm thankful for the experience for myself of being able to move and be involved in the community that embraced them decades ago. But frankly, they do contribute to a sort of higher quality of life, especially around some of the issues that Victoria touched on originally around the issues of mental health, especially, of course, over the past, this past year, we've recognized the major benefits that having a network like this contributes to a quality of life in a community. And so I certainly am very supportive of doing more throughout the region, of course. A couple other quick points. I think it's imperative. It's touched on certainly, and YOLO, I think there are some examples. Obviously, you mentioned sort of resource conservation districts or water districts or others, some of these folks that have ownership over the canals and things. The private sector partners are going to be critical in this discussion. Especially the railroads. We know that there's others too, certainly, but this discussion around a trail, is a dedicated trail between Woodland and Davis as an example. That north-south UP right-of-way, it's something that is just ripe, for some action in the years ahead. And I think that's going to come with some major discussions and partnership with the private sector, particularly the railroads. Lastly, I do think there's also probably, to Matt Dulcich's to points around Dixon as an example, this is a place where we should be, looking to partner with other agencies outside SACOG. So, certainly SDA, Solano Transportation Authority, of course, in the case of Dixon, but also James specifically, I think this might be another one of these discussions around the Mega Region Working Group. There's no reason why we should not be having this part of this discussion with the work that we're doing with MTC and San Joaquin COG. Especially when you have this instance of Solano County and YOLO and Davis and Dixon being 7 or 8 miles apart, one being in SACOG, one being in MTC territory. I feel like that's another example. And similarly, the southern parts of Sacramento County are just literally just a stone's throw across the county line from San Joaquin. So it does seem like this is something that we should also at least throw a nod to at some point over the course of this year in terms of the work that we've all been doing in the Mega Region Working Group. Thanks very much for the opportunity to make a few comments.
The great comments. Director Stallard.
Thank you, Chair Lauren, and I agree with you. Great comments. I'm very heartened by everything I'm hearing. This is my second time for the presentation, as we did here at SACOG, but I see absolutely no downside to this effort, and I see a great deal of upside. I it may be a little bit provincial, but I basically want to say we desperately need a Class A bike route between Woodland and Davis. A great number of Woodland people work in Davis, including, of course, the university, and a great deal of people from Davis work in Woodland, including our city engineer, or community development director, and the list goes on. So we've got to get that done, and we're building a major research and technology park that will start to appear within 2 years. The EIR has been released, and it will have hundreds and hundreds of jobs. So we think that the connection, these communities are so close for bicycle commuting, and it's such a delightful area to actually bike in the country, that it needs to get done. So I think anything that encourages a trail system between our communities, provide linkages not just for recreation but for serious commuting, is a huge benefit. So I'm certainly on board with this effort. And I was intrigued to hear that YCTD was quarterbacking the relocation of the rail route. I wouldn't be real proud of that, frankly, because I don't know whatever happened to it. It seems to have fallen off the face of the earth. We need to revive that effort and be serious about it and figure out a way to make that happen. Get that rail relocated over to Road 103. There's a lot of pieces in place. We just need centralized leadership to get that thing moving. And I'd love to see our transportation district get serious about that and provide that leadership. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for your comments, Tom. I would just like to echo Don Saylor's comment on how would we resource our effort. I think that that's the fundamental question, is what is the timeline and how would we resource our effort, because we all see a benefit to trails. And I should have started by thanking you, Victoria, and thanking you, James. I didn't know if you knew that Winners was part of the Solano Community College District. So our students go to Solano. Winners is also part of the Solano Business District. So we see our development tied to Solano. So partnering with Solano would be important to us. And I'd also just mention that we have a lot of traffic that comes from Davis, bike traffic, and we are very grateful for that bike traffic. They come down Stevenson's Bridge and come what we call the back way to Winners. And we love that. But we don't have a way for the people that live in the yellow housing, for lack of, that's the old term for it, to come across the 505 bridge. I think you mentioned the term infrastructure barrier. We have a very old, longstanding infrastructure barrier for the people that that are in the school district to be able to come to school, come to parent-teacher conferences, or ride a bike or walk. So if there's some way to address that, we have been asking for federal money for that. But there is a walkway, bikeway that's along Pewter Creek that dead ends behind houses, but that could be extended all the way to the yellow housing. So there are all kinds of opportunities. And thank you for listening to the ones from Winners. If there aren't any other comments from the directors, I'd love to open it up for public comment.
And Madam Chair, if there are no additional comments from the directors, we do have two requests, first from Mr. Alan Hirsch and then Mr. Joe Bolte.
All right. The chair recognizes Mr. Alan Hirsch. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Alan Hirsch. I've ridden from Highway 1 to 117 in Yolo County. I've ridden probably about 90%, 95% of the roads. I'm a road biker. I'm there. It's a lot of fun. But I'm concerned that we're basically are focusing on the recreation, not the real social equity needs. Sometimes we have a tendency just to do the easy routes, the easy routes, take a rail line somewhere and make it a ride, and it takes you nowhere. We spend money and time on that. It's great ribbon cutting, but it doesn't really help mobility. So we need to figure out what the real gaps are in our system and address those. The I Street Bridge, we need to fix that. I've been across it. It's a white knuckler. There's a lot of white knuckle spots that need to be fixed. And connecting Woodland and Davis, why don't we take the 113 right-of-way, which is already separated? In Canada, they put bike lanes right next to the freeway. We could do that in here between that. It's already dedicated. There's only one little bridge that needs to be addressed. But there are also opportunities. We need to pick the connections that have a high utility use, not just spend the money where it's easy. Sometimes we do that with things. For example, when we routed the light rail in Sacramento County, they put it south of the river, because there's a rail line there where you put the light rail down there when everyone was north of the river. And then they cut bus routes north of the river. We can't put the things where it's easy to put it. We need to put the routes where it's really needed. That's what social equity is about. Thank you very much. This is a great idea. I love biking. Hope to make it easier.
Thank you for your comments, Alan. The chair recognizes Mr. Bolte.
Hi, thank you. Very exciting project and a good presentation. I'm one of those 3,000 people that already gave feedback on where trails should go and where it's easy to bike and also where pain points are. So safe, healthy recreation is incredibly important, but safe, healthy transportation is even more important than that recreation. So I wanted to ask if this bike trail planning effort is part of a broader project to identify gaps in the safe bike network and solve those, or what will happen to gaps in the network that are identified as part of this design that don't seem to fit into the trail model. And I'm thinking, of course, of County Road 32A between Davis and Woodland, which is a very dangerous road that people cycle along. Is a bike trail the solution to that, or an on-street bikeway? I'm also thinking of the difficulty of getting from West Sacramento to Natomas by bicycle, because you can't go over the interstate bridge. You have to go through Old Sac. So I'm sure this will come up in the planning stage, and the question is, you know, will those things be identified, and then will there be a separate project to do non-trail solutions where appropriate? And of course, the worst thing would be just forgetting things or building something that is mostly good for recreation, but pretending that that's good for transportation and having, you know, use of that bikeway be low. So those are my thoughts. Very exciting project. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Joe Bolte. I'm very glad to hear so many people that are social equity warriors on our meeting tonight. Thank you so much. Do we have any other comments from the public?
No other requests at this time.
Do we have comments from the board or from Mr. Tuttle? All right. Thank you so much for coming and presenting and sharing all this great, great stuff happening in our area. We look forward to it. I will now like to move to item 4D. It was from the consent calendar. It is receiving the draft 2021 YCD draft budget. I wanted to clarify that cities received a copy of the budget on April 30th and that we are asking for written comment requested by May 30th. I would just like to ask everyone to please ask your cities and your finance departments to send in the comments. And with that said, I would love to hear about the draft from Ms. Janice Bryan.
I always have a problem unmuting. Good evening, Chair Loren and members of the board. I'd like to give a brief introduction to the budget and then take your questions. There's a lot of information in the board item, and so I'm just going to go through. The budget recommendations at this time is to receive the draft preliminary fiscal year 2021-22 budget, provide written comment and feedback by May 30th on the draft budget, set a public hearing to consider adoption of the budget on June 14th, 2021. Included in the preliminary 2021-22 budget assumptions are the implementation of certain YOLOGO recommendations throughout the fiscal year, one to increase the frequency during peak hours and enhance the routing of the 42 inner city service, also to resume service levels and enhance other route characteristics on routes 40, 41, 240, 43, and 45, and also to permanently eliminate or reduce certain trips that were reduced during COVID, and continue microtransit in Winters and Knights Landing and implement microtransit in Woodland. We have capital projects listed in the budget, purchase of one electric bus, and this is brought forward from the prior year. This is for the city of Woodland. We have a grant for the Woodland UZA 5307 funds. Also retanking 9 CNG buses. We have CMAC grant and we're using for local match, we're using our STA funds. We have 3 CNG buses to be purchased by, we're hoping, by STAC Urban 5307. And we're leveraging that with State of Good Repair funds. And then 4 smaller buses for Woodland Microtransit with the Woodland 5307 funds, and then some other equipment. The budget assumptions and planned service levels consider the service needs as developed primarily through YOLOGO and COVID-19 impact response and recovery. Staff understands that certain budgetary priorities and shifts in assumption may follow based on feedback and updated information from the board and member jurisdictions. I'm happy to take any comments or questions at this time.
So, Giannis, I just wanted to just clarify that this is a draft and that we have a budget workshop scheduled for June 14th, and mainly taking it off consent just to remind the public and the directors that we will have a budget workshop and to please get the comments in. And with that said, the chair recognizes Director Ledesma. I think your hand might have been up from before, but I wasn't sure.
That's correct. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting to lower it.
That's okay. The chair recognizes Mr. Saylor.
Thank you. I understand that we'll have a complete workshop on June 14th. And Janice, thank you for your presentation here. I'm going to be interested in understanding the capital outlay requests a little bit more. So you might anticipate questions about the nature of the rolling stock that we've identified for purchase, and where the funds are coming from, and how we might want to consider our capital budget. So that'll be an area that I'll be asking questions about.
Good.
And maybe even before June 14th, so you have time to think about it.
That'd be great.
Thanks.
Are there other clarified questions or comments from the directors? Seeing none, I would like to ask for public comment on the item.
We have 2 requests, Madam Chair, from Mr. Mike Barnbaum and followed by Mr. Joe Boldy.
All right, let's start with Mr. Mike Barnbaum. You have 2 minutes.
Good evening. Thank you, Mike Barnbaum, for the record. Janice, thank you for the presentation. And you hit the nail on the head in the very beginning. I was going to ask about how this budget is going to look back at the recently approved comprehensive operational analysis and implement probably one of the biggest most key service changes coming, the peak hour 30-minute service on Route 42A and 42B, the main trunk line of the Yolo County Transportation District. I'm very pleased that you mentioned it, and I know that when we went through the COA exercise, Jose, I know you mentioned any guidelines in the COA known as Yolo Go would come back to the board at specific months for holding public hearings and having service change implementation dates. So now with the presentation of this budget being a preliminary budget, I understand you'll probably bring back an amended budget, probably October 11th or October 25th, depending on the results of the federal and state budgets, and some legislation at the federal level currently undetermined at this time. But regarding the timeline, then, is there going to be a public hearing about the 42 A and B? What is roughly the timeline to put in the 30-minute service? I read, just as a note, and I'll close with this, on the transit talk with the general manager at sacrt.com last Friday, it appears from reading questions and answers that their Airport Express bus route will return August 29th. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Mike Barnbaum. I had a question. I got a note on that Mr. Hirsch might be trying to speak, but I wasn't sure. Is he on a phone and unable to raise his hand? Does anybody know?
I'm uncertain, but he has been able to raise his hand throughout the earlier parts of his meeting, and I haven't seen a change in the participant list.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you so very much. Just want to be transparent and available for comment. The chair will recognize Joe Bolte.
Hi again. Full buses are much more important than electric buses for climate change, for air quality, for economic opportunity. Full buses are so much more important than the fuel for the bus. Thank you.
Great comment. Let's get people on those buses. Any other public comment?
I see none additional at this time, Madam Chair.
Are there any other questions from the directors on this discussion item? Seeing none, I would like to move to item, I'm calling it item number 10, but it's 4E. It would be recruitment of the YCDD executive director. We brought it off the calendar to just kind of explain where we are. I would just say that it's a priority, and it's also something that's moving swiftly in our interest. So would Hope Wilson like to address it? Thank you.
Sure, Madam Chair. I put this item on the agenda today at the request of the Chair and Vice Chair and Mr. Tuttle to get feedback from the board and stakeholder input, as well as discuss potential ideas around a marketing plan development, what the recruitment period might look like, what those minimum qualifications might be, how to go about screening and interviews, and just essentially what that HR process and background will be. So if board members have thoughts on that, I would be happy to receive them and make note of them for the process moving forward.
Comments from the directors? Don, do you have a comment?
Well, I was going to just mention that the chair and vice chair have been in active conversation on these topics with the management consultant, Mr. Tuttle. And we're looking at the possibility of one of the county HR group or one of our member agencies providing support for this process at a cost far less than the $40,000 consultant fee estimate. And so we'll be able to provide the board with additional information on that in the near future. And I think one of the things that we would want to be clear about is that this first recommendation that says that what we're asking for is that the board of directors direct staff and the chair and vice chair to kick this process off with consultation with the board as appropriate.
With that stated, I have to kind of go back to the beginning of the meeting. I pulled the it was my intention to pull the budget and the recruitment, but I realized after discussing the item D4D that we should have voted on it, as we will vote on this. So I would like in the process to kind of interrupt the process, have public comment on this, and then I would be looking for a motion to approve of the receiving the draft budget and approving that the chair and vice chair with assistance from the managing director would be moving forward with recruitment of the YCTD executive director. With that stated, I'd love to take public comment on this item.
And we do have one request from Mr. Alan Hirsch.
Alan, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Could you explain what's going on, please? The special meetings, which you referenced earlier, were not noticed to me. I understand special meetings need to move quickly. There's monthly meetings, but they weren't noticed to me. Just be a little. I just ask you for some information. I don't want. Thank you so much. Just explain what's going on so we all know what's on the same page, not just the insiders of the board. Thank you.
I'd love to address that. So, Alan, we had a just going back in time, you might know that we had a special meeting on March 25th, and we voted to have Jose Perez as our acting executive director, and he's been acting executive director from that point. He started the next day. I believe he receives also a 10% salary increase as part of his duties, if you're interested. And later on 4/19, we had a special meeting, and we chose to have Marty Tuttle as kind of a management consultant to help us with many special projects moving forward. And to be quite candid, I think after you have a strong manager such as we've had for such a long time, it's really good to do a deep dive into all your processes and kind of make sure that you are ready to go when you have a new executive director. And we're ready to start the process to find, to hire a YCTD executive director. It's a several month long process. It's not going to be fast because of the scope of stakeholder input, marketing plan development, recruitment period, screening of minimum qualifications, best qualified screening interviews, finalists, and then whatever the process is for HR. So I hope that I answered all of your questions and more, but that's where we are. And if there aren't any questions from the director, I'd like a motion to accept item 4D and 4E. One is the budget draft, and the second one is recruitment of the new executive director process with chair and vice chair taking the lead and having assistance with the management consultant, Marty Tuttle.
So move, Stallard.
Move by Stallard.
Ledesma seconds.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second, and we will do roll call vote to pass the two items from the consent calendar, as stated.
excuse me. City of Davis.
Aye.
City of West Sacramento.
Aye.
City of Winters.
Aye.
City of Woodland.
Aye.
And County of Yolo.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes both items from the consent calendar. In reminding of the process for our meeting for this next item, we will be having the acting director report. I will be giving a reminder about closed session, and after the reminder about closed session, Director Ferrix will close out our meeting honoring Nathan Streeter. So that is the process we'll have next. And we welcome the acting director report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the board, again, always a pleasure to present these updates to the board and to the public. And I will be focusing on a couple of items that are, I believe, of interest to the board and maybe might be a little new. But I'd be happy to entertain any questions or to clarify any of these items on the report. We have a update on the Causal Connection Service. The most recent available to us, ridership numbers and information. We have continuing conversations with our operating partners, Sacramento Regional Transit and the University of California, Davis. The next such operations meeting is scheduled for the third Thursday of May, which would be May 17th or 18th, I believe. And we will have a very robust conversation, including addressing ongoing monitoring, reporting, long-term sustainable funding and operations of that service. There have been no significant changes after the April 1st changes to the routes 215, but we are continuing to monitor that situation and to ensure that customer questions, concerns regarding the operations get addressed in a timely manner. I have presented my current updates on the monthly progress reports, three primary goals, and desired outcome for the succession plan here in this report. Again, happy to clarify or to answer any of those, any questions on any of these items. I wanted to speak a little bit on a fairly significant project that we are currently underway on, the YCTD website update. Our board approved this project in, I believe, September, October of 2020. And due to a number of different factors, it was delayed. We have begun making significant progress on this project in earnest. We have scheduled biweekly discussions and communications with the website development team. Of most important note I feel for the board, or what I believe may be very important to the board, is this website update will result in a content management system that will allow our district to routinely and regularly update and clarify, make significant user interface improvements and enhancements to our website and information, as well as slightly modify what gets presented at the first click. We know that our customers' time is very valuable, and so we wanted to emphasize what information is readily available with the current pandemic environment. One of those features is a, I'll call it kind of like a pop-up window or banner ad that customers would be able to select and say, I've seen this, I don't need to see it again, but it comes up as a significant alert, which we intend to use for items such as emergency services, significant policy changes, reroutings, detours, opportunities for public outreach, and for public hearings on said issues. So again, it's not intended to be a burden or onerous for visitors to the website. They click on it the very first time they visit, and then they acknowledge that notice, and then move on with whatever they needed to. But we feel it was an important, that type of information and that type of display is critical to the success of our updated website. We do aim to present the website, updated website, once it's reached its beta phase, to our technical and citizens advisory committees, as well as the board, for testing and further refinement. So this is not something that staff is engaging in a vacuum. We fully ask and expect our advisory committees and our board members to help us make sure that we get this right, so that we're not spinning our wheels or frustrating our customers further, or launching products that maybe were kind of half-baked. And again, happy to answer any additional questions or clarify anything on that topic. I also presented for you a brief legislative discussion on some of the items that are being considered as part of the California State Legislature. The actual language of those bills are presented as attachments to this director's report. Further attached to this director's report are our financial statements for the third quarter of the current fiscal year, our standard ridership report for fixed route paratransit and microtransit services. I would like to make note that I am working with staff to improve and update this specific report. I want to make it as valuable as possible to our board. Even if it doesn't end up being something discussed routinely, I want more information available and more consistent and accurate data for the board's availability and consideration. So I am working on improving that with staff. I have also updated my proposed long-range YCTD board meeting calendar. As a reminder, this is always an item that is at the board's discretion, and so if there are, in between our board meetings, additional items, projects, discussion topics that is of interest to our board directors, I'm happy to update that our calendar and add those onto this item. So awesome. With that, I'd be happy to, again, answer any questions on my director's, the acting director's report, or clarify anything I was discussing. And if not, then I would also ask to turn the potential adjournment or closing of this item to Director Ferricks.
Before moving to Director Ferricks, do the directors have any questions on, or comments on this section? Yes, Chair recognizes Lucas.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jose, for the update. Appreciate all those. I do have a quick question with regard to the some of the items that you listed as in terms of potential or legislation that they're working their way, it's working its way through the legislature. AB3, so for example, I'm not sure about some of the other, I didn't have a chance to look up some of them yet, but I do know I've been tracking 339, AB 339, and that bill has been significantly amended just recently, within the last 10 days. And it was actually in Assemblymember Aguiar Curry's Assembly Local Government Committee, and it was amended to only apply to public agencies or cities and counties larger than 250,000 people. So There are a variety of other provisions that were also amended and taken as amendments in the bill, and cut down on the number of languages that were going to be required to translate, be translation to, and all these other things. So I'm not sure that 339 actually affects YCTD anymore. It doesn't affect any of our cities in Yolo County anymore, as an example. So I also am thinking it doesn't affect YCTD, but just wanted to provide that quick update. I'm not sure about some of the others, but that one I am pretty sure of.
Thank you, Director Perks. I very much appreciated, and I do wish to stress to the board that I'm participating, pending my availability, on industry legislative committee discussions, California Transit Association, CALACT legislative discussions, and I will present any updates as applicable as Director Perks presented to the board in future meetings.
Thank you so very much. Are there any other director comments? Seeing none, are there any public comments?
We do have a request from Mr. Joe Bolte.
Joe Bolte, you have 2 minutes.
Hi. On the topic of the website, I did notice that real-time arrivals and timing information does not appear to be functional right now. It often works on the Yolo Bus site itself, but it doesn't propagate to Google Maps or apps like Transit. I know it was working earlier in the or already last year in the summer, but it seems to not be working now, and that's very important. So I hope staff can take a look at that and restore that functionality soon. Also, on the topic of public meetings and an online component, I think regardless of what the state legislature decides to require, I hope that all Yolo Bus meetings and every single public meeting that anyone on this call is a part of will continue to have an online component. It increases access to the public process. It's much more convenient to just call in on your phone than going to the bus garage in Woodland or a city hall or whatever location the meeting is at. So I hope that after, you know, COVID-19 is far in the rearview mirror, we'll still be able to participate in the public process just via smartphone or computer. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so very much, Joe. I think it was Joe Bolte's comment and Mike Barnbaum's comment about having making sure that we still have video access. I'd love to explore that at a later date. Any other comments?
An additional request for public comment from Mr. Alan Hirsch.
Alan, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. In the director's report, I want to note that fixed route ridership is not up very much. We should be watching that. That's important to highlight. And also, I'm concerned that basically a picture is worth 1,000 words, and a public comment will be a lot more effective and useful if members of the public can show pictures too, just like members of staff and consultants. I think it'll be much more effective, and that's who you want to involve public and give their thoughtful input. There is no City of Davis, and all the commissions of Davis have figured out how to do this. I hope the board might consider that. You sure you want the highest quality information, and a picture is worth 1,000 words. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. If there isn't any more public comment, I'd like to say that after Lucas ends our meeting tonight, because he will be closing out our meeting and adjourning it for us, that we will have a closed session on a public employment discussion for executive director, and we will have nothing to report out on that item. And with that said, the chair recognizes Mr. Lucas Ferrix.
Thanks very much. I just wanted to adjourn the May 2021 YCTD meeting in memory of Nathan Streeter of Davis. Most folks here, have met Nathan previously. He was a lifelong transit and bus lover and regular user of Yolo Bus. Yolo Bus and Yolo Paratransit and Unitrans and all those services. You know, he served as a member of YCTD's Community Advisory Committee from 2017 to 2020. He's survived by his parents, Nancy and Steve of Davis. And, you know, I think in the packet, our monthly packet, you'll see a fantastic article from that Davis Enterprise detailing many aspects of Nathan's life. You know, among other biographical items, you know, there are details of donation of Nathan's organs after his death and at least two others' lives have been saved as they were the beneficiary of Nathan's and the Streeter's family gift. So our hearts and thoughts go out to Nathan and his Streeter family, and just thank you to all the YCTD staff and members of the Citizens Advisor Committee for welcoming Nathan as part of that body, and he will be sorely missed.
I wanted to, I am sad to interrupt you, although the Streeter family, I believe, is on the call and would like to make a comment.
Hello, Steve and Nancy is here too.
Hi.
Thank you for the recognition both today and Don Saylor last week for the supervisors. We appreciate all the honor and recognition he's been getting since his passing on March 31st. Did you have anything you want to say?
I just want you all to know that as my best Nathan, the tradition was quadriplegic and also no verbal speech, but that Nathan absolutely had a, because of Unitrans and because of and all the special buses that were provided.
Yellow bus special.
So that he really was, a man about town, who even had a flirt page on his device that I never found. So we miss him dearly, and yet he lived a really full life. It was also partly because this city supports those who just need a little bit of help to get from here to there.
So thanks again for Lucas for taking the time to recognize Nathan, and we'll be talking to you later about other projects. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. And our meeting is adjourned at 8:45, and we'll be moving to closed session with nothing to report out. Thank you, everyone, for your diligent work. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll be ending the meeting.
Thank you.